Good morning. Our scripture text this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 2 in verse 7 will serve as our text this morning. We'll begin reading its context in Luke chapter 2 in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now in God's strange providence, the eternal Son of God entered the world as a baby in an environment devoid of worldly comforts. The masses had overwhelmed the ancestral hometown of David. So much so that lodging was scarce. So by the time Joseph and his pregnant wife Mary arrived, they had to settle for accommodations amongst the livestock because there was no room for them in the inn. The world in that day had no place for Jesus when he arrived. And so it is today. To drive home the applications of our text, we shall journey this morning in our mind's eye to a town which we will call Christmas. Now in Christmas, there are four inns. Four lodging places, as it were. The inn of the world, the inn of the flesh, the inn of the devil, and the inn of your heart. The question I shall pose to you this morning is this: will Christ find room in Christmas? The inn of the world seems rather comfortable when one steps inside. People are eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, just as they have always done. Over at the bar, we find many weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. The owner of this place is called Nabal, and he has become very rich. He has devoted his life to perfecting the things of the world. His name means fool, and as his name is, so is he. He cannot be trusted. The caretaker of the inn of the world does not care about his guests, not even a little bit. Everyone complains about Nabal, but yet they imitate him. They act just like him, for they love the inn of the world and all of the things inside. When it is time to leave the inn of the world, just exactly as they come, so shall they go. There is no fulfillment here, and no future here. There are other inns just like it. where one may stop, and the next town and the town after that. The rich, and those whose priority is to accumulate worldly riches, stay in adjoining rooms. The embezzler, the gambler, and the self-respecting gentleman will check out one day, and they'll all go to the same place. The second inn we find in the town of Christmas is the inn of the flesh. Now, the guests here are not quite so diverse in a sense. They're all related to one man whose surname is Lust. You see, Lust has quite an extended family. And the maintenance department in the inn of the flesh is very busy working on an addition right now, even as we speak, 12 days from Christmas. Here the guests enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, not considering that the way of the unfaithful is hard. In the inn called Flesh, there is one particular woman who hangs out in the lobby, and she greets unsuspecting guests. These guests are married, many of them, but the men lust after her beauty, not realizing that they are well on their way to destroying their own souls, not to mention the consequences they're going to have to pay in this life for indulging themselves. One young woman has come here after college, and she recalls the words that her mother shared with her the day she went off. Her mother said this: "Food's for the stomach, and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." But now, this young woman has long forgotten these words, or at least pushed them way off into some forgotten compartment of her mind. She has cast God aside as a myth. After all, the world and the flesh might have something to offer, she thinks. She doesn't understand that she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. Now, the third inn in the town called Christmas is the inn of the devil. Now, you would think that with a name like that, nobody would stay there. But the innkeeper here is a master of marketing, more so than any professor of marketing at Bryant College could ever hope to be. The innkeeper of the Inn of the Devil is slick and manipulative. His TV spots have higher ratings in the town of Christmas than the local football team's games. In fact, people come here to watch the game for the commercials. The more off color, the more shocking, the better, the innkeeper will say. If one were to stay at the Inn of the Devil, one would be served deviled eggs for breakfast. After all, there is no devil the staff will tell you. Except in fairy tales. So they make light of it. It's all a big joke. The guests here are easily taken advantage of, being ignorant of the innkeeper's devices. They've heard it said that the innkeeper, who also goes by the name of Satan, another word taken from Christian mythology, so they say, they say that he has a pet. But nobody's ever seen them together. His pet, they say, is a lion who devours unsuspecting guests. But the staff dismisses such stories as old wives' tales. For all of this, people still come to the town of Christmas today, and they choose to stay in the inn of the devil, having their minds blinded by the god of this age. Now, it's said that there were four inns in this town. The fourth inn in the town called Christmas is the inn called Your Heart. Jesus has come to the town of Christmas today. There's no room for him in the inn of the world, the inn of the flesh, certainly not in the inn of the devil. But there is still one inn yet in town where he may come to stay. The inn called Your Heart. He's either going to stay there this Christmas, or he's going to sleep among the livestock as he did 2,000 years ago. But you are the innkeeper of the inn called Your Heart. Perhaps right now, as you sit here, you have other guests in your inn. Guests in your inn who are better suited to be staying in one of the other inns in the town of Christmas. Don't worry that those guests might not find room in some other place. There's plenty of room, and there are plenty of people working on the ongoing construction of those places. There is always a vacancy in the inn of the world, in the inn of the flesh, and in the inn of the devil. The innkeepers never say enough. Now, they're said, if Jesus is to come to the inn of your heart this Christmas, he insists not only upon occupying a room, but the entire inn. He comes with his guests called hope, peace, joy, salvation, truth, unconditional love, grace, mercy, forgiveness. I think I've forgotten a few, but you get the idea. Jesus brings so much to the inn that if his father does not come down to work on the expansion of the inn of your heart, your inn will not have room enough to contain them all. In the upper room, the Lord said this: abide in me, and I in you. May each of us today, in this Christmas, be challenged to let the Lord Jesus into the inn of your heart this Christmas. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your scripture. We thank you for the strange providence that is recorded, the strange providence of the events around the birth of Jesus Christ, through which we can find so much relevant instruction for us today. We pray, Lord God, that if there be any here who are looking to get rid of unwanted guests from their hearts, that they might be filled with the goodness and the joy of your Son this Christmas, that you come to their aid right now, Lord, that such a one might make the conscious decision to accept your Son, Jesus, this Christmas. What better time than today? Lord, we pray your blessing upon this time, remainder of the service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We'll now offer